Well, welcome to Reengage. You guys glad you're here? I've noticed since we've moved into this room, you guys are a little bit less responsive. So pick it up a little bit, okay? See, this is good that we've started off this way because I didn't even plan on this, but I'm telling you what I need from you. And actually, that's what we're going to talk about tonight, the fact that I am a very, very, very needy person. And I don't say that in some kind of pseudo-humility kind of sort of thing, but it's amazing how just painfully aware I am of my just really, really deep needs. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. And so it's goofy how even being up here on stage, I love being up here and sharing with you guys out of God's Word and maybe giving you some good thoughts to think about. All the while I'm sharing with you, I've got this whole other agenda going on inside of me. And so I just want to confess to you, I feel like I really need your approval at times. So if you don't give it, I'll just ask for it. It's okay. We have this kind of relationship, right? But isn't it, well, I don't know if it's true for you, but I really do. I need this kind of strange affirmation of people around me at times, and particularly of my own family, particularly of Rebecca. It's an amazing thing how my wife's opinion about me really, really matters. And I find myself sometimes when I have these needs, I don't quite know what to do with them. I don't even know if I recognize them. But I just start kind of reacting and responding to people around me as though my ultimate goal in life is simply to get that need satisfied. And so just to be frank with you guys, I do. I have this need for approval and affirmation. I have this need to be understood. Have you guys ever been in an argument with somebody and it's like, I don't even care if I win, but I just need to feel like you get what in the world I'm saying. I have that need significantly. I have the need to defend myself, to protect myself. I have this need for physical touch, intimacy. I have this need that I want to be known. I also have this other strange need to not be known by any of you because it scares me. And so sometimes I have needs that actually compete with each other. So figure that out. Try loving me and knowing that I need things that are the opposite of each other. And so I'm wondering if you guys feel the same sort of things. You may have other kinds of needs for like real significant physical needs. Some of you may be exhausted right now and you really just need a good nap. So I almost heard a few amens out there. Some of you need you need help financially, and you're just not even sure how you're going to make it through this next week. And you feel the pressure of it. You feel like, I don't know exactly how I'm going to make ends meet. That totally makes sense. I've got two kids that, man, I just need some help with, figuring out what in the world, you know, how to raise them and how to disciple them well. And I feel like I'm feeling so much better just getting some of this stuff off my chest with you guys. But what I want you guys to think about with me tonight is just this real simple principle in Scripture and in relationships is that we are needy people. What I want to talk with you tonight about is how I go about getting my needs met. And some of you may have made it through this lesson, and so it'll be a great refresher. Some of you are just now maybe getting to this place. But there's really some great research and even some good biblical examples about how we go about getting our needs met. And sometimes this is not a good thing. And so the manner in which we get our needs met sometimes could be really destructive to other people, and it could be destructive to ourselves. One of the passages that I have really been fascinated with over the years is it's actually in John chapter 4, and it's a story that if you've been around Scripture and around the church for any length of time, this will be familiar to you. And we're not going to read through all of it, but just to kind of give you a quick flyby, it's this passage where Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman at the well. So she is this woman who goes out to gather water, to draw water from this natural well. And strangely enough, she meets Jesus there, which is a little bit of a social, you know, faux pas anyway, because Jesus, being Jewish, should not be hanging out with women in the middle of the day, particularly Samaritan women. And so he's kind of breaking all the moral expectations, but Jesus sort of does that thing often. And they enter into this great conversation where Jesus asks for a drink, but he gets her caught in this kind of strange conversation where she becomes the person who is really interested in what Jesus has to offer, but she can't quite put her finger on it. But she is a thirsty person. She needs water. And I have to tell you guys, there are just times when I am overwhelmed, maybe like this woman was, where I just need stuff. And I am spending a lot of my energy, it seems like, trying to garner strength and encouragement and all of the stuff that I need. And so a lot of times I go about manipulating people around me to get those needs met. I'm trying to work you, frankly, half the time to get my needs met. I'm doing the same thing with my spouse. And so what I want to share with you tonight is what we see sometimes in scriptures, too, are just different strategies, that different natural strategies, human strategies that we go about getting our needs met. And so the first one that I use oftentimes, and I'm actually pretty good at it, so I'll warn you, is people-pleasing. I tend to kind of do this sort of thing where it's kind of like I'll scratch your back and you scratch mine. I'll take care of your needs, you take care of mine. Pretty good deal, isn't it? Really, it works well. And so have you guys ever, certainly like in a work environment or in your home or just even with friends, we kind of enter into these relationships that say, I'll take care of you as long as you take care of me. Jesus even describes this in Matthew 5. It's right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and he says that the pagans and even the tax collectors kind of greet one another. Even the tax collectors are being kind to one another so that they might receive favors from each other. And so it works this way. Jeff, by the way, great-looking shirt you got going on tonight. Very, very cool. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate that. It's like going fishing, man. I just throw the lure out there, and I get whatever I need. Now, Jeff and I didn't plan this ahead of time, but he hangs around with me, so he knows this is how I work, is that instead of directly asking for things that I need, I go fishing for them. And I've got all kinds of fancy lures that I could just kind of throw it into the water. And sometimes I don't even do this consciously. Sometimes I'm just doing it to kind of get what it is that I need. And so if I need some kind of affirmation or some kind of compliment or something that just feels good to my soul, I will totally work you guys. Now, here's the scary thing is I am totally working my wife. I am manipulating Rebecca, and it is not pretty, you guys. On the surface, it looks nice because it might be something like, hey, honey, can I go put gas in your car tonight so that way you don't have to worry about that tomorrow? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Or, hey, can I take care of the kids tonight while you just kind of go rest and read a book and just kind of enjoy some quietness? And have you ever had people kind of do nice things for you and you can kind of feel it? You know, it's kind of like, yeah, that sounds good, but I can feel the hook. I can feel that there's some kind of like, there's like a catch. It's that statement that, you know, there's no free lunch or anything like that. And we do this in our marriage. And so for Rebecca and I, we get it caught into these kind of just dangerous cycles where we totally are using each other. And we're not being honest about what it is that we need. And instead, we're kind of doing this subversive kind of, you know, controlling and manipulating sort of thing. And on the surface, it looks nice because we're kind of doing stuff for each other. But there's always a catch there. There's always kind of this fishing that goes on. And I'm telling you, even in our family over the years, it has evolved or devolved, maybe that's the way to put it, all the way down into just even simple things about how we talk to each other. Have you ever done this on the end of a phone call? Like maybe even on the way over here and you're trying to negotiate traffic, you came in two cars, and on the way you kind of said, okay, I'll see you there. I love you. And what is the other person supposed to say back? I love you too. And so you say things kind of waiting for it to be reciprocated in some way. And I'm just telling you, people pleasing is a dangerous way to get your needs met. Because for me, who's actually pretty good at this at times, maybe a little bit more sophisticated at this than the other strategies, the downside of this is that me getting my needs met still depends on me. It still depends on me being able to kind of fish for them. And so what I want to encourage you to think about tonight is that you being a needy person doesn't scare any of us. But you not being honest about your needs and confessing to God that you have these needs can lead into real significant trouble. If you are not open and frank with the Lord and frankly with those around you, those in your group, with your spouse about what those needs are, you can be led to a place that doesn't seem like it's all that dangerous, but it is destructive. And so over a series of, you know, years and different expressions of this, the people-pleasing thing can be a really nasty way to live life. It is not good for a marriage to be a people-pleasing kind of environment. And so many of you may have even gotten married with the idea of, hey, here's what our vows say. I'll take care of you as long as you take care of me. And whenever you're kind of done taking care of me, I'll be sure and let you know that I'm done taking care of you. And so we have this kind of unspoken rule about how we're going to meet each other's needs. And so that's the people pleaser strategy. And I have to tell you, I default towards that one, or that's my preferred strategy right now, unfortunately. A second strategy that oftentimes gets used in my marriage and in other relationships as well, it's not exclusive to marriage, is really what's called being an emotional bully. And this is just somebody who's pushy and offensive and aggressive. This is someone who doesn't have the patience or the time to play these little games with each other like, hey, Jeff, nice shirt. I really, really like your shirt. Really looks good on you, Jeff. And the emotional bully just doesn't have time for that sort of thing. And so they don't go fishing. They basically, they just go attack and get what they need. And so they don't do kind of these subtle things. They are aggressive. This is someone who says, I just need to tell you what I want, and I will be taking it. This is someone who maybe has a high need for respect. And instead of kind of going, hey, I really need for you to respect me, or playing some kind of people-pleasing thing, they demand it. They are forceful about it. And the emotional bully is someone who, frankly, makes a good CEO, good executive, because I don't have time to play these games. And they're demanding, and they're aggressive. And there's some of us in our marriages that are that way, too. Right? Thank you. Just a little head nod will be great. Because remember, I already told you that my need is for you guys to... I thought we talked about this, you guys. So just play along with me a little bit. So I'm not going to ask you anymore. I'm just going to demand that you guys respond to my funny statements. And good. Laugh now. Okay. So an emotional bully doesn't explain why they need it. They guilt you into it. They force you into it. Again, it's still manipulation, but it doesn't look nearly as polite, and it doesn't look nearly as sophisticated. It's much more efficient than the first model, but it's something that we all do. Oftentimes we turn into emotional bullies after we've tried the people-pleasing thing and it just hasn't got our needs met. It's one of those things that we do after a while where as we're trying to kind of pull the bucket of water up and it's not working, then we just get more frantic, a little bit more desperate, a little bit more, I don't care if this hurts you, I need to get my needs met. And so it's almost kind of like that person who's drowning out in the ocean and someone goes out to help them and they grab a hold of them and they both drown. This is someone who's just kind of flailing and grasping, and they're pushy and they're obnoxious. And you always kind of walk out of those relationships if you're on the opposite end of it, and you just kind of feel like you got run over by a Mack truck. And so you start to learn what those relationships are like in your marriage or in your family or whatever, is when you start feeling like, ooh, I don't know if I really want to spend time with them because I'm probably going to end up on the short end of that stick. Somehow I'm going to get taken advantage of. And there was a really great popular book that came out called Boundaries that, basically here's how the way to kind of set some limits around how people might take advantage of you that way. And so that's what it's like being married to an emotional bully. Sometimes two emotional bullies can be married to each other, and it's really hot. I mean, it's really high conflict all the time, really pushy, really manipulative. And some of you are emotional bullies. And it's not because you're a jerk. It's because you are a needy person, and that's your strategy to go about getting those needs met. The third strategy is really kind of interesting. So the first one, if you think of it as a people pleaser, second one's emotional bully. The third one is kind of like this. Do you guys ever remember the old show, The Lone Ranger? Thank you. Thanks, Hill. It's like one other person in here. Thank you. Tonto. Yeah. I always wondered why he was called the Lone Ranger, and yet he had a buddy. I mean, it was like, how alone could he be? I mean, he's always got his horse with him. And anyway, those are questions for another time. But the Lone Ranger is this guy who basically says, emotionally, relationally at this point, is the person who says, I've tried to people-please and get my needs met. That isn't working. I may have even tried to be a little bit more pushy and aggressive and caustic, and that's not working. So here's what I'm going to do, is all of you are useless to me. And particularly you, my spouse, because you guys should know what I need, and you're not taking care of me, so clearly you don't love me or care about me. So here's the way this is going to roll, is I'm going to be right over here all by myself taking care of me. Since nobody else is engaged and on board with this, I'll just be over here, and I'm going to lick my own wounds. I'm going to bring my own toys over here, and I'm going to be all by myself, and I can trust me. I can take care of my own stuff. And it becomes someone who really is kind of lost faith that they can manipulate anybody. It's really kind of a defeated person that comes over here. And this is an interesting person because even though they're isolated, they may be around a lot of different people. But have you ever been around a lot of people but not really with anybody? Thank you. All right. Yeah. Good grief. Somebody took me up on the nap thing, and you guys are totally checking out. So there's a lot of us that in our relationships, like in our marriage relationships, we've totally said, I'll be married to you, I'll be in close proximity to you, but I'm not with you anymore because you are inept and incapable of taking care of my needs. And so I'm not even going to ask anymore. I'm going to totally eliminate all expectations that any of you can do anything for me. I'm starting to feel that way with all of you guys. I'm going to go to another group that's a little bit more sensitive and responsive. But this is the person, do you guys remember the movie? It's so stupid that I think of these goofy things. Do you remember The Jerk with Steve Martin? Good, okay. A few more people saw that one after The Lone Ranger was over. And so the Steve Martin scene, I love it. So, you know, Navin Johnson, he has this great creation with glasses. And do you guys remember that? It's like a little thing right here. And so he makes millions of dollars. It's a rags-to-riches-to-rags story. Well, he makes millions of dollars, and then it turns out that everybody goes cross-eyed if they have his product. And so then he gets sued, and he loses all of his money. And there's this great scene, you guys. It's so funny, where he's like in his, you know, big mansion, and everything is falling apart, and he has no people, no friends. Everybody hates his guts, and he's lost all this money. And he's walking around with his bathrobe on. And he's like, I don't need anybody anymore to be happy. And he starts wandering through, you know, his living room. He goes, all I need is this paddle ball. And he picks that up. And that's all I need to be happy in this world. And I don't need anything else except for this remote control over here. And by the time he gets to the front door, he has like a lamp. And he's got like a, you know, I don't know what it is, like an old tape recorder or something like that. And so then the scene ends and he's actually walking out on the street corner, you know, and he's got his dog, whose name I won't repeat. But it's just this great scene of this kind of sulky, pitiful, just kind of woe is me. No one understands me, and no one will ever take care of me. Now, I would never do that sort of thing. Is my wife here? Oh, hi, sweetie. I would never do that, would I? Yeah. I have to tell you guys, there has been a long part of our marriage where that is probably... Before I turned into a people pleaser, I'm like a recovering Lone Ranger. And so this is my preferred way of doing things. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of that has to do with the way I grew up. I grew up around folks who were just not really all that dependable. And it was kind of like survival mode, relationally and emotionally in my family. And so I've just got to a place where I don't know that I could really trust a lot of other people to really come through for me. And so I get into kind of this weepy, sulky, I'll just be over here and take care of myself. And if I just starve to death because nobody's taking care of my needs, oh well, I mean, it was just me and Jesus. And so, you know, I just suffer over here. All the while, I'm not even being really frankly open and honest about the things that I need. And so once again, I'll tell you guys, since you're making lists there, here's my needs, is I really do. I have this strange need to be understood. I have this strange need to feel safe and protected. I need to feel like I'm valued and like I'm important. And I'm telling you all that stuff to confess to you, but I'm also telling you, you need to be on guard with me because I might use you. I don't mean to, but I might. Rebecca knows this. I mean, I don't mean to, but I use her. I can fall into these strategies where I totally manipulate. Now, what a good marriage looks like is not just two people who manipulate each other well, right? And so that's why we're here, is we're trying to figure out how do we not abuse each other that way. And so what's great about Scripture is it actually gives us a clue. Philippians 4:19 says, here's what I could do with some of my needs, as opposed to abuse and use you, is that Paul actually says, he goes, and my God is able to supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And I don't take that as some kind of pie-in-the-sky statement. I really do believe that God is capable to care for all of my needs for me. He knows what my needs are much better than I do anyway. He has a clue as to how to satisfy those needs a lot better than I do anyway. And so part of my relating to Christ, I'll be honest with you, it's good for you that I know who Christ is. It's good for you because if Christ is not able to take care of my needs, I'm going to hurt you. And I'm going to hurt my wife. And so coming to Christ and really depending on him and relating to him is not just a good thing for me. It's good for the people that are really closest to me. And so some of you, I want to implore you to really depend on Christ in maybe a way that you haven't before, simply for your marriage's sake. So here's what's great about trusting Christ with some of these things is that it's not only trusting Christ with salvation, it's like trusting Christ with like some of the day-to-day things, like getting water out of a well. Jesus says to this woman, this Samaritan woman, he says, I have living water. You don't have to keep coming back here and getting this stuff. Because that's what it was whenever I would do the Lone Ranger thing or do the people-pleasing thing or the emotional bully, is that I'd get my needs met sometimes, and then guess what would happen tomorrow or later that afternoon? It's like, I got to go back to the well. And so I would get exhausted, you guys. I don't mind telling you tonight, I feel really tired and weak, and there's just times where I just get discouraged. And so even if I got my needs met by you, even if I manipulated you for about 20 or 30 minutes, you know what? Later tonight, I need you to come home with me and continue to take care of me. Or I'm just going to go home and tell my kids and my wife that I need. Here's what I need. You guys are going to have to buck up and deal with this and continue to support me. Because when I manipulate other people and I get those needs met, I get thirsty again. That's what's so amazing about this passage in John chapter 4. Jesus says, this is in verse 7, when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said, will you give me a drink? The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And so the idea is this is water that continues to spring up. It's like there's no bottom to it. And it's water that comes to you, not that you have to go retrieve. And I'm telling you, my marriage desperately needs that kind of supply. I need to go to a different source than just simply trying to milk everything I can get out of my family, and particularly out of Rebecca. Now, here's what's great is that if I present my needs openly and honestly to Christ, he is more than faithful to care for me. He really, really is. And so I invite you to trust him. I challenge you to maybe present some of your needs to him and to just to confess, Lord, I'm a needy person, and here's what I need. I need help with this. I need help with conflict. I need help with getting angry. I need help with wanting to give up. I need help with thinking the worst of my spouse. I need help with, you name it. You fill in the block. You need stuff, and so are you going to trust Christ with that? What I love about Jesus is that sometimes he directly takes care of your needs for you. Supernaturally, somehow he is able to supply your needs for you. What I love other times is that when I present my needs to him, he actually strategically uses people around me to care for me in a way that is not me manipulating them. And so there are some times where God uses Rebecca to specifically care for the needs of my life. And it's not me negotiating and manipulating her. It is her fulfilling God's role in life as my wife. And sometimes when Rebecca is able to kind of really lean on Christ to meet her needs, sometimes God uses me to do that. I love it. It's like that's the role I was made for. I love being fulfilled by knowing that I can care for Rebecca. And it's not that she's manipulating me or trying to control me, but it's yet out of her dependence on Christ that God is supplying her needs through me. It's a beautiful way to care for each other. It's much different than the way the world does it. It's much different than the way that we would do it naturally. And so my challenge to you guys tonight is to maybe take that first risk of asking God to take care of your marriage needs as opposed to manipulating those who are around you. I really do believe this, that there are times when he will take care of it directly, supernaturally, and I believe that there are other times that he'll take care of it through your spouse. He created marriage so that he can care for your needs through your spouse. But he's the ultimate source of that. It's not your wife or your husband. That's the ultimate source, but there's just simply a vehicle that God uses to care for these needs in your life. Now, I hate to tell you this last part, but there are times when I ask God to care for my needs, and he simply says, not right now. Thanks for asking. Yeah. He's pretty polite about it. But there are things that I think I need that God says, I want you to know that you're going to be okay even if you don't get that need met right now the way you want. And it sounds almost exactly like the sort of thing that I would tell my kids. Dad, I know it's only 10:30 and we've been up way past our bedtime, but can't Mom make cookies for us? Yeah. I'm like, not right now. Yep, so that'll have to be some other time. And it'll be great for you to go to bed and know that you're going to be okay without chocolate chip cookies tonight. It'll be a good thing for you to learn that you don't need that stuff to make it through the day. And it feels like I'm constantly being taught by the Lord that I will be okay even if I don't get my needs met the way that I think I need them met. But there's a great deal of comfort that comes from knowing that God is aware of my needs and that he's aware of my well-being even if those needs don't get met. So I'm encouraging you to trust the Lord to care for some of these needs that maybe you've been manipulating your spouse to meet for you. And I'm also encouraging you to try to test and see how the Lord responds to those needs and that you'll find him faithful. Let me pray for you, and then I've got a few instructions as you head out. Father, thank you that you indeed are faithful to care for our needs. And it feels like a big risk to trust you with this, but where else are we going to go? It's not like we have a whole lot of other options. And so, Father, I pray that as people tonight for the very first time take a chance on leaning on you and depending on you to take care of their needs, that you would respond to them with a kind and compassionate and very able-handed heart. Father, I pray that there would be confidence that builds in our relating to you. And Lord, I pray that that would happen not just for our benefit, but that it might relieve the people around us who we love the most from being manipulated by us. And so we confess to you today that we have people-pleased each other to death, and we have manipulated each other, we have forced each other, we have been emotional bullies with each other. And Father, lastly, we've been people who just isolate and disconnect, and none of those things satisfy our hearts. Only you can. And so just like this woman at the well, Lord, would you provide living water, and would you restore our marriages in a way that would bring glory to you and